Thank you for being here this morning, being a part of our service. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to start a series in Ephesians. The message, the series name is going to be I'm Rich. And some of you think you're not rich, but we are rich if we have Christ, amen? And that's what we're going to see, and especially through this book here. We're going to see all the different things that we're rich in and how God has blessed us and abundantly, and we need to realize that and need to be thankful for what he has. Many times in our Christian life, we focus on the things that are not right rather than on the things that are right. And there's so much right that goes on in our lives, we take for granted those things, and then when something bad comes in our life, that's what we focus on, and we draw into those things. And so we have to be reminded of how blessed we are to be people of God. Ephesians, there's a lot about Ephesians. I'm not going to get into a whole lot about it. I'll just kind of give you a little outline on the front end of it to kind of get you squared away on what Ephesians is. It was written by Paul. Paul was in Rome, and he was in prison. This is one of the what we call the prison epistles. And so he wasn't on the Mediterranean drinking iced tea. Okay, he was in prison. He was locked up, and so some bad things were going on in Paul's life. And so, you know, a lot of this, I think the Holy Spirit was leading Paul to realize how rich he was, even in the situation he was in, okay? And so we have to understand that. You know, you see other, when you call them prison epistles, you see also Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And all these were written while Paul was in prison and under guard. And it was written around A.D. 61, something like that. And so, you know, we're not for sure about all the dates and everything, but around A.D. 61. And so, but Paul is talking about, he goes in, he's talking about a church, and when you read through this, we're going to do Ephesians 1, 1 through 14, and it's quite a bit of scripture, and there's a whole lot there, okay? And I'm going to kind of break it down, but what we have to understand is that Paul is sitting in a prison, and he's writing back to these believers, and he's telling them that, hey, you don't realize how good you have it in God. Even though I'm in a prison, I can say this, and even in your situation and your circumstances, you need to understand how rich we are to be in Christ Jesus. And so listen to what he says here, starting in Ephesians 1 and verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. And here you go, here who he's writing. So that's who's writing it, Paul. And then he tells you who he's writing it to. Again, that's on the front end of letters in the Bible. It says, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. So he's writing this to the saints. That means he's writing this to believers, okay? And so you have to understand that. You understand who's writing the letter. You understand who it's writing it to. And so he's writing it to this church. And most people believe that that this letter was passed around to different churches. This wasn't for Ephesus. I mean, this might have been the first church that got the letter. But, you know, in those days, the writing, you know, it wasn't a lot of writing. And so they would pass these things around and these letters around, okay? Then he goes on in verse 2. He says, grace and peace to you from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a welcome, he's saying. That's just a welcome. That's how we would say hello, okay? Sounds a little bit more eloquent the way he says it, isn't it? Then in verse, he goes on, he says, in verse 3, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted. There's our word, and today we're talking about my adoption, okay? It says he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. To the praise of his glorious grace, it says, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. There's our word. There's our theme for the whole chapter, for the whole book. It says that he's lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. Verse 10. To be put into effect when the times we have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we also were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. In verse 13 it says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were marked in him with the seal of the Holy Spirit, who is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance unto the redemption of those who are God's possessions to the praise of his glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have just read a lot, and there's so much theology in here that tells us who we are in Christ. And God, help us to key in on the things today about our adoption and what it means to be adopted to Christ. And also our riches, and God, realizing how much we have because of who Christ is and what he has given us. God, help us to understand those things. We live in a difficult time in this world. We live in a time that a lot of people are struggling with their faith. They're struggling in their physical and emotional and financial means, Lord. And we have a tendency to focus on what's bad in the world, but not what's good on it, Lord. And help us know that, God, we do have a lot of good when we have you. And help us to focus on that today, to realize who we are in Christ and what we have because of you and what you've done for us. And God, thank you for those things. And help us realize that as we leave here today. And we pray all this in the precious name of Jesus. And amen. So in opening the day, do you feel rich today? That's the question. Do you feel rich today? Well, most of you think no. And what you're thinking, this is what the devil will do. He'll always make you think of somebody else that has a little bit more than you do. Okay? Now, we don't have any Bill Gates in here, okay? And we understand that, okay? And so that's the first thing that we go to. The first thing we think about riches, we always think about what? We always think about money. Well, let me tell you what. Money can be a curse. There's a lot of folks that have a lot of money that are not very happy, okay? And you read something here a couple of weeks ago or about a month ago of somebody won the lottery and they didn't want their name published. And so it was a big deal. They went to court and all that stuff because they didn't want anybody to know that they'd won the money, because what they had heard in the past and what you've heard in the past is that you don't know how many family members and how many friends you have until you win something like that. Amen? Yeah. Everybody comes out and everybody just wants a little. I mean, I don't want it all. I just want a little, okay? And so a lot of times money can be a curse, and sometimes a lot of us, God knows that we can't handle money. You know, a lot of us probably wouldn't even be here this morning. If we had a lot of money, we'd be on a yacht somewhere, or we'd be down in Cancun or somewhere like that, and jet sitting around. You know, we wouldn't have time for things. But this is how we're sitting here today. If you don't have a lot of money, you think, well, God, if I had a lot of money, I could do so much good for you. Well, let me tell you this. If you're not doing anything for God with a little, you're probably not going to do anything for God with a lot. Amen? So I'm just telling you, okay, if you won't give $10 out of 100, you probably won't give 100 out of 1,000. That's just how it comes down to. And money is a test. And so we have to understand that's what tithing is about. God don't need you money. It's just a test. It lets us see how faithful we are, how much we trust God. And so we have to understand that. But when we are saved and we understand that, we need to understand that we're rich in Christ. Philippians 4 and verse 19 says, and my God will meet all your needs. Now, listen to this. That's what he says. He said he will meet how many needs? All of it, okay. He didn't say our greeds. He didn't say our wants. He said our needs according to his glorious riches. And how much does God own? He owns it all. Right. He owns it all. It says in Christ Jesus. And so it's in Christ Jesus and God owns it all. And now we're being this, what we use this word here in verse 5. He uses this word adopted. We're adopted into God's family when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So what's the plan here? What is God's plan in adoption here? I'm going to run down through this. We've got two parts today of this. The first thing is that number one is from the past. We see God's plan from the past. And in verses 4 and 5, he lays this out. He says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will." And so the first thing is God's election. Now, how I believe in election, I believe in this, that God doesn't elect some for heaven and some for hell. He doesn't do that individually. What he does, when he talks about election and predestination, he's talking about his church, is what he's talking about, okay? I mean, God knows the beginning from the end. The book of Revelation tells us, and so God knows everything that's going on in the world and what's going to happen. So when he talks about election, when he talks about predestination, he's talking not about individuals, he's talking about his church. And we have a free will to choose if we want to be into God's family, okay? So God gives me a choice to be a part of his church and a part of his plan when it comes to election. So the first thing is from the past. Then we see the second thing is to the present. Look there in verse 7. He says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace." And so we see this through our redemption. That word redemption, you hear me say that a lot. I like that word. It means to be bought with. It means to be bought at a price. And it was used as a slave term. And when a person was in slavery, then someone could go redeem them. Okay, they could be bought back and be bought out of slavery. And that's what God's done for us. He's brought us out of slavery of sin. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20, it says, "You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." And what was that price? It was the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what we celebrate every Sunday, like Mark was saying this morning. When we come here on Sundays, we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ every week, okay? And so, I mean, you know, some folks just kind of show up on Easter and things like that and think, well, it's just a special day, and it is a special day, okay? But every Sunday, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us and who he is, and we have to understand that because we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. So our redemption declares our riches because now we're in the family of God and a part of God's family, and we have to understand that. Listen to what it says there in 1 Corinthians 6:20. It says, you were bought at a price, therefore. And what I'm saying is saying you have to realize the price that was given for you, the death of Jesus Christ and what was given up for you, God's only Son, that's what was given up for you. And then he goes on, he says, and therefore, and that word therefore could mean because of. Because of that, what should I do? I should honor God with my body. Why do I, listen, salvation doesn't give us the freedom to sin, it gives us the freedom from sin. Get it? Good. You need to understand it, because a lot of people say, well, you know, Brother Nathan, I'm saved by grace, so that means I can just live like I want to, and, you know, everything. Let me tell you what. Let me say, listen, when you understand the price that was given for our salvation, it'll make you not want to sin because of your love for God, your dedication to God. And it says, because of that, then you honor God with your body. I don't want to sin because, why? I want to honor God with the things that I say and the things that I do. And so we have to understand, when I understand the redemption. And then the third thing is, the first thing from the past, the second is to the present, and the third thing he gets into in this chapter is looking to our future. Look what he says there in verses 13 through 14. It says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were marked in him with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance unto the redemption of those who are God's possessions to the praise of his glory. So now we're looking for our inheritance. We're looking for what God has for us. And what we have learned in the past is the best is yet to come. Amen? Amen. Don't ever forget this. The best is yet to come. We're living in a cursed world. When Adam and Eve sinned, we are living in a cursed world, and a lot of people want heaven on earth, and it's not going to happen. So a lot of you, sometimes you're disappointed in God because you don't get what you want, when you want it, and how you want it, and you think, well, God doesn't love me. No, what you need to realize is the best is yet to come. We're looking for a future. We're looking for our heavenly home. And so we have to understand that. So it's in the future, and it's what he lays out here. So we have a lot to look for in the future. You know, we have a lot to look for. Always look up, because there's a lot. This is, you know, when I am having down times and I'm having difficult days, what I do is, this is one of the things that I like to say, this too will pass. This too will pass. I have a promised future in the Lord Jesus Christ, a heavenly home, and I have all these promises that God gives me, and so I look forward to those things. And so when we go through difficult times in our lives, you need to realize that's just a part of this life. It's a part of the world that we're living in. We're living in a sinful world, and your sin affects me, and my sin affects you, and we need to understand it. But we're looking past that into a heavenly home, and that's what keeps our focus on Jesus Christ and all he's done for us. And realizing that, what it should happen is we should honor God with our bodies. We should honor God with our lives because of what God's done for us. And so he's saying that. So. What's being adopted gives us. That's what he's telling us there. He's telling us all these things. Now, the second part of the message is this. The second part of the message is this. What do we learn about adoption? Adoption is an important thing. In the biblical times, I won't say it was any more important than it is now, but it was an important thing to be adopted. They didn't have a welfare system. They didn't have a lot of things that we do now. And today, what you have to understand is our poverty in America is not what third world countries call poverty. Today, we think poverty is not having, cable TV or a second vehicle, you know, or not having we have a little TV instead of a big one, okay? And so, man, look, I'm so sorry for them. They don't have a big TV, you know. And so but we don't really understand the word poverty in America today because we have a system that helps people. It might not give you everything you want, but it helps you in your needs. And so I can tell you what, you can do some pretty good eating on beans and potatoes and bread, amen? You know, you can fatten up on them things, okay? Okay, I'm just telling you, you can fatten up on those things, okay? Daniel told us that, okay? You know, and so from some of you on the Daniel plan. But anyway, but I'm telling you, you can eat cheap and still eat good, okay? And so we have those things, and we have ways to provide those things for our, and we should, you know. I'm all about helping people that have needs in their lives. I think our country should, and we as a church and we as individuals should give hands up and not just hands out. I mean, if a person can work, they should work. But if they can't work, then we need to be there to help them. And we have that. But in those days, they didn't have that. And so you would have people there that they were just depending on people just throwing some scraps and kind of just give them a little loan. And so for you to be adopted into a family and something happened to your parents or whatever and you'd be adopted, it was a big deal to be brought in because why? Because it's a cost involved in that. It takes a lot to raise a child or it takes a lot to raise somebody into your family. So adoption was a big deal. So we want to learn about that. And so what we need to understand is what God does, and Jesus is a master teacher. He takes something that's pretty understandable in society, and he takes it and he brings it into a spiritual understanding. And that's what he's doing in this area of adoption. He does it all the time in farming. you know, in those days, those folks were agriculturalists, and a lot of us, you know, folks here do the same thing. This is an area where we have a lot of agriculture, so we can understand about soil and about different plants and about seeds and things like that. So it has a contrast. But he takes those things in everyday life, and he carries them into a spiritual context. He carries them into where we can see them in a spiritual light. And that's what he does with this thing about adoption here. And so Paul is master teaching this also. So God's plan in adoption. Look what he says there in verses 4 and 5 again. It says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to the adoption as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will." So God had a plan for his church. Before the beginning of time, he knew what was going to happen. God knew what was going to happen. God gives man a choice. And God knew the choice that was going to be made. I believe that God knows the choice that the devil was going to be made. The devil had a choice. And so we know that the devil made a choice in what he wanted to do. He wanted to be worshipped. And so he did what? He was cast down. And the demons were cast down. I believe that Adam and Eve had a legitimate choice. That tree was put there. And they had a free will. And they had a choice to make. But God saw the choice. And he understood it. They needed to be a redeemer. There needed to be a redemption. So God understands that. And so we talk about the sovereignty of God. And if you can ever get your mind wrapped around that, then you need to write a book, because it'll sell a lot, okay? Because the sovereignty of God will give you a headache. Does he know this? Does he know that? I mean, what is God part of, and what's God part of not of? And you have to understand. So it's a lot goes into that. But God's plan from the beginning was to have a relationship with man. That's why we're here. You hear me say that all the time. When you don't understand that, you miss the very reason that you have life. And so then you begin to make up a reason for life. And for most of it, it's what it is. It's just to have fun. It's to be happy, to enjoy life, to be comfortable. And that's the whole meaning of life. And if that's your whole meaning of life, then you're going to be disappointed a lot. Because why? That's not what all this world's about. It's about having a relationship with God, and we have to understand that. And so he says here to predestine. To predestine means to ordain beforehand. So God had a plan, and God still has a plan. God's not sitting in heaven, wrenching his hands, wondering what he's going to do, okay? He already knows what he's going to do. We read the book of Revelation. It tells us. It lays it out there for us. And God knew man would fall, and God knew man would need a Savior to have a righteous relationship with sinners. And so he has the plan of Jesus Christ. He understands. You know, Jesus came knowing he was headed to the cross, knowing the plan of God. And so God doesn't predestine people to heaven or hell. He allows them to make their choice. They have a free will. God does predestine his plan for redemption, though. What it's saying here is God had a plan for redemption. He didn't have a plan for individuals. He has a plan for redemption for his church. And so when I see the word election, when I see the word predestination, what I see is God's not saying you're going to go to heaven and you're going to go to hell. What I see is God has a redemption plan for his church, those that choose to come into his church, those that allow themselves to be adopted into his church, okay? And so God, what we have to understand that. So God has a plan, and he's bringing us in, and God's going to fulfill that plan. We see it in the book of Revelation. As if we read in, you know, 1 Thessalonians, we see the rapture of the church. We get into other places in the Bible. We see in Revelations, we know the world's going to end in fire. We know that there's going to be, we understand all about the end times, how the church is going to be raptured, and they're going to go through the tribulation time. Then you're going to have the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And then after all that happens, then we're doing what? You know, we're going to have the new heaven and the new earth. God's already got it mapped out. He's got a plan. He's sovereign. He knows those things, okay? He don't let us in on everything. We don't know all the things about the end events, but he lets us know enough of one thing that we don't have to guess where we're going. We can know that God's going somewhere. And most religion and most people, the world's like this. The world's just a vicious circle, and we go round and round. But in the Bible, we see that God has a plan. The world's going somewhere. Your life is going somewhere. We're all going to live for eternity. You know, we sing about 1,000 years and 10,000 years, and we can't even fathom that because we're looking at minutes and hours and days and weeks and seconds and all those different things. But 1,000 years from now, we're going to be somewhere else. And we need to understand that we have a life, and God has a plan for our lives. And we need to submit to that, okay? Now, then he also says, I'm going to throw this in for free. Look what he says there in verse 4. I like this. It says, "For he was chosen in us before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight in love." For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in sight. Now, what does he mean there? It's how God sees us. You hear me talk about this a lot. How does God see you? Well, listen to the first thing that Paul does here in verse 1, he says to the saints. And remember, you hear me kind of do a little play on words here. You're either a saint or you ain't, okay? You're either saved or you're lost. And what he's saying here, he's writing this to the saints. And what he's saying, how does the Father see me? How does the Father see a saint? The Father sees a saint with blood-colored eyes. The blood of Jesus covers our sin debt. And how does God see me? He sees me holy. And how does he see me? He sees me blameless. I don't see myself that way because I'm not holy and blameless. But what? But God does, because he does what? He looks through the blood of Jesus Christ and sees us. Because why? The blood of Jesus has been put to our account. That's what's redeemed us. That's the price that's been paid for us. And we're bought. And we're bought out of slavery, out of the slavery of sin. And now we have a Heavenly Father, and we're in the church, we're in the family of God, and we're rich because of those things, see? And that's how God sees us. God the Father sees us that way because of the blood of Jesus, holy and blameless because of Jesus' blood. So the second thing is this about adoption. The second thing is this, his grace in adoption. We see God's grace, and God's grace is God giving us something we don't deserve, and that's salvation. We don't deserve anything from God because we are sinners. But God gives us, and we see that through adoption. So how do we see that? Well, I'm going to go through here and just through this short, just think about Ephesians. And just think about, we've gone through verses 1 through 14. And think about all the Bible and what God reveals to us about his truth. But what I want to reveal to you is just in this one small portion of Scripture, I want you to see how rich you are in Christ. You just kind of follow along, okay? Listen to what it says. First of all, it says he chose us in verse 4. Is he predestined us in verse 5. He adopted us in verse 5. He redeemed us in verse 7. He forgave us in verse 7. He lavished his wisdom and knowledge on us in verse 8. He revealed the mystery to us in verse 9. He seals us in verse 13. He guarantees us our inheritance in verse 14. Can you say amen to that? Amen, man. I'm talking about this is one little portion of Scripture. It's showing you how rich you are in Christ. I mean, here Paul is sitting in a prison cell. You know, all these things are going to him. And he's saying, but listen, I'm reminded of these things, and I want to remind you of these things of who you are in Christ and what you can look forward to in Christ and what he's done for us in these things. And he lays it all out for us. I don't deserve grace, but thank God I've got it. Amen. It's one of those things. Thank God I've got grace. I've got God's grace and because of what he's done for me. He gets into this mystery, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on that. The mystery that the Bible talks about here, I believe the Bible speaks about here, it's about the Gentiles being brought in. The Bible calls it grafted in to the Jew, or grafted in. And so Christians and Jew are now grafted in together. And we're only done that through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so that's the mystery. It was not something that was seen in the Old Testament. And Paul's saying God's laying out a mystery. He's bringing Gentiles into the church now. He's bringing Gentiles in, and they're being with him. And so all of us are equal. And all of us get to God the same way. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so he talks about that mystery, if you've always wondered about, though. That's what he's talking about. And so we look at adoption again. And then we get down to the last thing about adoption is this. He talks about, you know, what we can see about adoption and how rewarding it is and how much it means that God's brought us into his family and how rich we are because of that. But also the last thing it shows me my part of adoption, that I have a part in adoption. And we can't ever leave that out. What you have to understand is God is the seeker. If you're saved today, you have to realize that God sought you out. I mean, you didn't just wake up one day, or you didn't hear a sermon one day and think, well, I think I need to do something about that. What you need to understand was that was the Holy Spirit working inside of you, getting for you to see your need for salvation. You've heard me say this often because I like to remind you of this, is that all the Trinity has a part in your salvation. All the Trinity has a part in your salvation. Remember, I told you, I pray like this every day. I thank the Heavenly Father for sending his Son for my salvation. I thank Jesus for dying on the cross for my salvation. And then I thank the Holy Spirit that he did what? He sought me out, that he revealed my need for salvation. How did I know I was a sinner? The Holy Spirit revealed to me that truth. I saw my sinfulness. I saw my need for a Savior. And thank God the Father sent his Son to die on the cross for my sins. Amen? And I have a part to play in that, okay? It's not just God saying, okay, you're going to go to heaven and you're going to go to hell. That's not what predestination is. What it is God's got a plan for his church, and then he gives us a free will to choose if we get into his plan. And how he draws us is with his Holy Spirit. He draws us. He gets us to see our need for salvation. And then we have a choice to say. God doesn't twist our arm. He doesn't make us. He gives us a choice to say, yes, I want to be a part of your family. And that's when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And that's what we call, you know, being born again or accepting Jesus or being saved or salvation. We call it different things. But it's being a part of God's family. And so what's my part? He lays it out here very easily to see here in verses 13 through 14. He says, and you also were included in Christ when you first heard the word of truth. And so you're hearing truth. And what's truth? Truth's the Word of God. You need to hear the truth of God. That's why it's important for you to be here, especially for people that are lost. Listen, on Easter, almost all the time, but especially around the holidays, I know people, last week we had the place was full last week, okay? Last 2 weeks, place were full. And so it's not surprising that some folks have kind of hopped off and went their way this week because it's something to do, okay? And so what you have to understand is that I understand there's going to be people in our service that don't come to church very much. And so if you've got family and you've got friends that you don't know that they're saved or not, that would be a great time to bring them. Bring them anytime, okay? But that would be a great time to bring them because you know old Brother Nathan, he's always going to end up at the cross somehow, almost every Sunday, but especially those days. And you need to understand. Because why? Because they need to hear the truth. A lot of people don't like the truth, but they still need to hear the truth. If I love you, I'm going to tell you what the truth is. Amen? I'm not going to flatter you. A flatterer is someone, the Bible warns about a flatterer, all through Proverbs. A flatterer is someone that tells you what you want to hear. And they're not your friend, they're your enemy. Now, I'm not saying take the truth and knock them in the head with it. People can use the truth as like a stick, okay? And there's some people that do that. And that's not that. But we tell the people truth in love. But what is the truth here? So they heard the truth. And what is the truth? The truth is the gospel. And the word gospel means the good news. And what is the gospel? It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you don't get anything else out of this today, understand, if somebody asks you, what is the gospel? It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. And that's the good news of Jesus Christ. And so you've got to hear the truth, okay? You can't just look up in the heavens and think, well, I think there's a God, so that must mean I'm saved, okay? We've had a lot of people in history that's done that, and that's very dangerous. We have a lot of religions today that's been founded on somebody that's thinking, well, I think, yeah, there's a God, and I believe in him, so that means I must know him, and that means I have a relationship with him. There's a lot of folks that are all screwed up about that, okay? You have to hear the truth, and the truth is the gospel, and the truth is about Jesus Christ. And then here's the next step. After I hear, what's my other process? It says that I believed. I had a choice. I made a choice to believe, okay? I believed him. And not just in our head where I have an intellectual understanding of who God is. I have a belief in my heart, which means it's with everything in me. I have a sincerity of belief. I really believe this truth that's being laid out before me, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the Son of God, and he died on the cross for my sins. And 3 days later, he was resurrected. And because of his death, burial, and the resurrection, that I can have freedom in Christ when I put my trust in him as my Lord and Savior. See, there's two ways for you to pay for your sins. Only two. Two ways to pay for your sin. Either you die and go to hell and you pay for your sins for eternity, or you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you put your sins on him, and that's what he died for on the cross. Amen? But you get to choose that. And so you hear the truth and you believe the truth, and it brings you to the point of salvation where you've got to make a choice. And so you're brought to a choice. You're brought to a choice today. You're brought to a choice when you hear this. And then when we do believe and we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, look at what the benefit is. Look at what the riches are. He comes in here. He says what? He goes on. He says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So what happens at the moment of our salvation? The Holy Spirit comes inside of us and he seals the deal. He seals us, and all of a sudden, what we said and what we did and the way that we looked at life all begins to change. And really, it kind of confuses us before, because now we're convicted about things that didn't bother us before, and we do things and don't do things that didn't bother us before. Because why? Now we have the Holy Spirit working inside of us. God, he is our guide. He is directing us. He's convicting us of the sinful ways, and that's what changes our life. So what I'm saying today is, if you ever got saved, and you're saying you're saved, and there was no change, let me tell you what, I doubt your salvation. Because let me tell you what, when you get saved, God's going to begin to change everything about you. The way you look at life, the way you act and react to things in life. I mean, some more than others, I understand that. But it's going to be a change in your life. And you want to be close. You want to honor God with your life. You want to devote yourself to God with your life, because you understand how rich you are and what he's done for you. And what does it say? He goes on, it says this. He says, in verse 14, who is the deposit? God made a deposit on us, guaranteeing our inheritance unto the redemption of those who are God's possessions to the praise of his glory. And who are those folks? It's the saints he's talking about up here in verse 1. And we're the saints. We're the saints of God, and because we're accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, now we're saints, and God sees us as blameless and holy before Him because of the blood of Jesus. And now He's giving us this promise here. He's giving us this promise of eternal security and making sure that we understand that we will be with Him in heaven. So God sought me, first of all, because God's a seeker. And then when I made my choice, I heard and what I believed that I was brought into His family. Now I'm adopted in. And our adoption is a choice out of God's love, but it's also our choice to respond to Him. I have to make a response to Him. I have to turn my life over to Him and be a part of what He's doing to ever be saved. And so what am I asking here today? Well, in our closing, look at what it says. Have you been adopted? You know, have you been adopted? Has there ever been a time when God sought you out? How do you know that? I can tell you that. When you were sitting out there in the pew sometime, or maybe you were reading your Bible, or you were watching a preacher on TV, and all of a sudden you began to realize that, man, I'm a sinner, and I need to be saved, you know. And I need to do something about this. Well, let me let you in on something. That's the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is not a force. He's not a feeling. He's a person, and He's drawing you to God. He's wooing us to God. He's showing us our need for a Savior. And so the only way that we're ever adopted into God's family is when we understand God's seeking us and He's drawing us out. And then we do what? We say yes to Him. And let me warn you about something. It's never in the Bible. It's not always promised that God will continue to do that in your life. A lot of people will say, well, you know, I'll put it off today. I mean, I'll do it later. I'm going to have my fun, and I don't want to be a Bible thumper, and I don't want to be a fanatic. I don't want to do that. I mean, I'm going to live my life. Let me tell you what, friend. Not any of us are guaranteed another second in this world. We don't know if we'll make it back next week. We don't know if we'll be here again. We have to understand. So when you feel the drawing of the Holy Spirit, friend, you better give in. Amen. Because you don't know if God will ever make you feel that way again, if He'll ever draw you to Him again. And you might sit out here Sunday after Sunday and just say, well, you know, I don't feel like I need to go down front. I don't feel like I need to pray that prayer. I don't feel like I need to be saved. Let me tell you what, then the Holy Spirit's not drawing you. And that is the most dangerous place you can be in life, is when you don't feel God seeking after you anymore. And let me tell you what, you can get there. Amen? You can get there, friend. And don't ever think you can come in here and you think, well, Brother Nath, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to work in my life again. You know, He's going to convict me. He's going to convince me that I need. It might not happen after today. You don't never know that. And so God draws us and He seeks after us, and we have to understand. And then so we have to ask ourselves, have I been adopted? Have I been saved? The lesson to learn is God chose me. Isn't that a great thing? God chose me. God knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. What I've said, what I didn't even say, everything I thought. Isn't that a scary thing? I mean, what if, you know, we played a movie up here today, your life, and every thought you ever had was up here on the screen. You know what you'd be afraid of? Wouldn't nobody like me if they knew me? You know, that's what a lot of people do. I mean, that could be the case, no doubt. But we think that. But listen, God knows everything about us, and He still loves us. Amen? And that's an amen. That's some of His riches right there. God knows everything about us, everything we ever thought, everything we've ever done, everything we've thought about doing, okay? All those things, and God still loves us, and He still wants us. If He's seeking after you, He's drawing you in, and you see your need for salvation, God's saying, I welcome you, I love you, I choose you, come on in. And then the last thing is, and the application is, will I choose God? Will I choose God? See, I have a choice. God's not going to twist my arm. He's not going to make me come into His church. He's not going to make me come into His family. I have a choice to make. And so God brings us to this choice of where we say either yes or we say no. We say yes or we don't. And what you have to understand is either choice you make has consequences. If you say no, then you're denying God, and you're doing what? You're allowing yourself to be put, you're allowing yourself to go to hell. Okay? You're allowing yourself to say no. You're rejecting God, and you're allowing yourself to go to hell. If you say yes to God, there's some consequences of that. You might lose some friends, but they really wasn't your friends anyway. There might be some things that you're doing now that you enjoy that you don't need to do anymore. There might be some places you're going you don't need to go anymore. Things on TV you're watching you don't need to watch anymore. Things on the radio you're listening to that you don't need to listen to anymore. Because that Holy Spirit, after you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in. He begins to convict you and convince you that you don't need those things. And you still have a choice. And so all of life is full of choices. Day by day, minute by minute, we're making choices, you know, making choices. Ultimately, what we need to ask ourselves is this. God, what's going to honor you with my life? You remember that? I mean, some of us went through that study. What's going to honor God with my life? You know, what's going to honor God? What are other people going to see? How are they going to see Christ in me? When I say I'm a Christian, how are other people? How am I going to honor God? How you honor God is saying no to some things and saying yes to other things. And I'm not ashamed of those things. I've learned, I've told you before that, you know, some of the best friends of a pastor is the funeral home, the hospital, and I added one a few years ago, the nursing home. When I go to those places, people are glad to see me, okay? But one place I have found that a lot of people are not glad to see me at is a wedding, okay? And it's not at the wedding. Everybody's glad to see me at the wedding. It's the reception, you know. Man, you know, it's like, oh, no, here he comes. Oh, man, you know. And so it's like one of those things, you're at the reception. It's like, man, when is he going to leave? You know, it's like, you know. But you know what? I have learned this. I don't mind making feel people uncomfortable when I'm doing the right thing, okay? If you're out there acting like a heathen and you feel bad about seeing me, let me tell you what. I'm not the Pope and I'm not God. But let me tell you what. God can work through me and he maybe do a little Holy Spirit stuff, okay? But let me tell you this. If you think your preacher ought not do it, you ought not do it either. Amen? If I ought not go see that movie, I ought not be watching that on TV, if I ought not go to that place, I ought not listen to that music, I ought not drink or smoke or take or do all those things, let me tell you what. You ought not either. Because what? The same God saved me, it saved you. And the same Holy Spirit lives in me that lives in you. And I'm sure if he's convicting me, he's probably doing the same thing to you. You just ain't listening, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, let me go ahead and tell you now, I'm not perfect. I give in a little every now and then. If you run around me, some of these folks out here run around me, you know, they can tell you a lot about me, okay? They're just sworn to secrecy, okay? But they can tell you a lot about me. I'm not perfect either. But let me tell you what, one thing they know about me and one thing I know about myself, I do want to honor God. Amen? I want to honor God with my life because I know other people are watching me and other people see those things around me. And so that's what God wants. He wants us to honor him. Why? Because we're his children and we've been adopted into his family. And let me tell you what, friend, you might not think it, but you're very rich if you're in God's family. Amen? So the question today is, are you in God's family? Has there ever been a time in your life where you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you've been adopted into his family? Let me tell you what, he welcomes you into it. Is he drawing you out today? Is he seeking after you? Are you sitting there this morning and saying, you know, Brother Nathan, I've never done that. There's never been a time in my life where I accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. You know, I go to church and, you know, you might have been baptized and you might do a few good things and things like that. That's fine and dandy. But let me tell you what, you can still go to hell and come to church here. You know that, don't you? You know. And our motto, when I first got here 11, almost 12 years ago, our motto was this: let's make it hard to go to hell from Unionville. Well, I hope that I'm making it hard for you to go to hell from Mount Vernon Baptist Church here in my preaching week by week, because let me tell you what, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation, and I'm going to preach it till I die. Amen? And that should be our life as well as with our words. And so maybe today you need to be saved. We give an invitation. It's not ours, it's God's. And he's inviting you to come to him, giving you an opportunity to come to him, drawing you and wooing you, and the Holy Spirit seeking after you, drawing you to God, you know. This is your opportunity to do that. Or other times, maybe for Mark and I, we come down here and maybe you have a prayer request. Maybe you're having something, you know, something going physically or emotionally or financial problems, and you want us to pray with you or pray for you. Or maybe you just want to come down to the altar and kneel down and pray and ask God to do something in your life. Or maybe not only for you, for somebody else. A lot of times people come down the aisle, it's not for themselves. A lot of times it's about something else that somebody else in their family or some friend that they're going through, they want us to know about, for we can be praying for it. So if you have a need today, you come. This is God's invitation to you. Let's all stand.